This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fun. Intern Ryan's got the Periscope up if you want to watch along with us as we come in on this Wednesday, June 23rd. We come in as losers today.
What's new?
Thanks, Peyton.
I forgot Peyton was there.
How did you forget? They showed him every other pitch for a while.
That's true.
We come in as losers. As a Tennessee, baseball season is over. 0-2 in Omaha. Before we dive into that, I'll go around the table. Go around the room. Cameron, how are you?
I'm excellent. It's game day.
It is game day. You got your game day attire on. Hawks, Bucks tonight. First game of the Eastern Conference Finals. As the Hawks continue their march to a championship. Draven, how are you?
I'm okay, John. Not great.
You losing Call of Duty yesterday?
No, I didn't get to play yesterday, sadly. But, no, it is tough, UT losing. It is tough.
Why don't you get to play Call of Duty on the days you work? What time do you get home from work? Like 11?
It's like 11:30.
Can't fire it up and get an hour or so in? Go to bed?
It's a little late, you know?
Okay.
I get my beauty sleep, you know?
I mean,
also,
I have a little draining process
when I go to bed, you know? I got to watch a couple shows. I got to get organized a little bit. Take some time.
Fair enough. Either way.
Be on today. Don't worry.
Everyone, yeah, I heard it was a great time. A lot of listeners had messaged saying that you guys had a great time playing together.
Oh, yeah.
Last week.
All these people hit me up. It was crazy.
Yep. So for,
I had a full squad.
Round two tonight.
Yep.
Hit up Draven on Twitter and get added to his squad, and you guys can play some COD together.
You want to hop on, John?
I don't know.
Get a win?
I'm not a gamer. I got a busy... After the show, I got to move a mattress and drive it away to Athens and back. And
Break into a storage unit.
Have them cut the lock. And got to be back in time to shower and like wind down. I too, have a process before Hawks games. It's just sit in the recliner and wait. But I need to like get in the right mindset.
Yeah. What, like an hour before the game starts?
Yep.
That give you enough time?
Yeah, fine. About 35 minutes is good enough. I got to look over the props on FanDuel for the last second.
Of course.
Yeah, find my combos to lead the Hawks to victory. Mm-hmm. I do the best I can there. So I need about 35 minutes. So I'm a little stressed about after the show, too, because also just driving a mattress in the heat. Just the whole thing is just...
Just moving a mattress.
Threw my routine off. I had to try to go to the gym before the show today. So now I'm a little tired. I did eat a better lunch than usual, so I do think that like maybe that'll hold off me being really hungry at like 2 o'clock and being angry, but we'll see. We'll figure it out as we get there. Like I said, we come in here on this Wednesday. We come in here as losers. We did get another good NBA game last night. We had some Major League Baseball action, so there's some fun stuff to talk about, but I do feel like the story of the day is Tennessee going 0-2 in Omaha and really putting to the test everything we said. I said there's no way we'd feel like a disappointment after going to Omaha. But they did their best to have two very frustrating losses that made you feel like losers. That made you like frustrated with the way the season went. And now you're on the watch to see where Tony Vitello goes. Does he stay? Does this flirtation with LSU, does it manifest into anything?
You're really disappointed. I like just overall the whole entire season. I feel like
we're in the moment just a little bit, man.
No,
yeah, sure. Like, I will be able to reflect in a couple of days and feel... Well, if Tony Vitello and his new extension comes to fruition and you get the big contract and, Danny's leaking, trying to let... You had the report from Danny's boy, coming out and being like, hey, they're prepared to make him the highest paid coach in baseball. To me, you could read that one of two ways. You could read it as, okay, this deal's going to get done, or it's a, hey, don't blame us if Tony goes somewhere else. We tried to do everything we wanted, even though, anybody who's kept up with Tony Vitello's contract negotiations over the last 2 or 3 months and not just the last, week or two, realizes that there's been some, disconnect between the baseball team and the administration. It's not just a thing that you can say, well, we kind of neglected baseball for a while. Really even dating back to Philip Fulmer's days. I mean, it was pretty quick that Jeremy Pruitt got a new contract extension after going 7-5. Whereas, you know, Tony Vitello was winning 40 games, and I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know of any big contract extension he received. I didn't see his staff getting any more money. But hey, the football team, 7-5, you beat Kentucky and Missouri. Good job. Here's a bunch of money. Baseball, oh yeah, good job. Yeah, we'll talk when you come up due. And Tony Vitello, you're already making $600,000, which, you know, look, I'm not going to say woe is me, you're making $600,000, especially, you know, in a time where people are hurting for jobs. And I'm not going to scoff at that idea, but when you look around, like, okay, Josh Heupel's getting $4 million, you got the football coaches like Jim Chaney getting $2 million, which, again, not even Jerry Pruitt, not the head coach, not Josh Heupel. You got Jim Chaney making $2 million. And then of my $600,000, yeah, I'm going to give back my 10% deferment that you asked all the coaches to give. I'm going to do that. Oh, wait, none of the football coaches did it. Jim Chaney, who, you know, making $2 million, didn't give up any of his money, but I gave up mine, and I'm making $600,000. That seems a little weird. Like, none of the football coaches gave it up except T. Martin, sort of, and Jay Graham?
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. And then I'm going to be like, hey, I'm not going to give I'm going to feel a type of way if I'm Tony Vitello that also, like, Tennessee was like, hey, these incentives that we put in your contract, yeah, we're not going to be able to pay them because of this whole COVID thing. And he gave up some incentive money. To which, you know, if Tennessee was smart, they would have already cut a check after Tennessee won their regional and super regional. Go ahead and give him the bonuses he deserves.
I disagree, man. I disagree. I don't think you pay a coach, like, during the season. Why can't you wait till after the season?
I'm just talking about his incentives in his contract. Not contract.
I was about to say, just a whole...
Not contract extension. And if you're Tony Vitello, I mean, if you're, you know, you hired Jimmy Sexton for a reason. I'm sure Jimmy Sexton said the same thing. Like, hey, we're not signing anything because every win makes you more valuable. And every other coach opening, like LSU being open now makes you more valuable. Let's just wait and see how you play it out. So, like, I'm not even saying that, but, like, no, the incentives that, like, was deferred because of COVID. The bonuses, like, they owe Tony a couple $100,000 of just, like, hey, here you go for... You know, again, winning the regionals and super regionals, and they haven't even came out and said, like, no, we're gonna honor those. Because, you know, we got this windfall of SEC network money, and, you know, ESPN just bought the rights to the SEC. No, we're fine. We're flush with cash. And, you know, we saved $13 million on Jimmy Pruitt. Whoops. That might have backfired because the team's terrible. But, hey, here you go, Tony. So, you know, you can say that, wow, look at the administration. They gave an offer to make Tony Vitello the highest paid coach in baseball. Wow. It's one of those things that you could also fall under a little too, maybe too little too late. We'll see how it goes. Like, it's not a couple $100,000 that's going to make this decision. It's going to be about respect, and it's going to be about investment. And it doesn't seem like through the first, you know, half of this year that the respect and the investment's been there just yet. Now there's time to right the wrongs and make the promises and show the appreciation. But you're dealing with, you know, some neglect, and you're dealing with a big opening at LSU. So I'm a little worried. Ultimately, I think Vitello stays at Tennessee. Because I'm not even sure that, like, they're crazy about him at LSU.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, like, you know, every win raises your price, you could also look and say, you know, going 0-2 maybe made you a little less desirable for LSU.
You sound a little skeptical, though, about this whole situation. Just about the administration.
Oh, yeah,
you act like they're saying they're kind of going against their words. I just wonder, like, what do we want from them, though? Like, what do you want UT to say? Like, they said they're going to make them the highest paid coach. They said they're going to make the investments. Like, that's all you could ask for right now, right?
Well, right now. But like I had, you know, just kind of said, like, I feel like it's one of those things in a relationship, Draven. If you've neglected things for a long time, whenever it comes time to, like, you know, be at that crossroads, you can't all of a sudden make these promises because that person can easily look and say, like, hey, why didn't you just do it before? Like, why didn't you appreciate me earlier? You say you're going to change. Maybe they'll listen, or maybe they'll be like, nah, too little, too late. Too little, too late. So, like, yeah, you can make those promises, but again, if you've kind of neglected and kind of treated baseball like a stepchild for so long, or someone they didn't really appreciate, like...
is that big of a surprise. I mean, the baseball team was terrible, and also, like, Danny Watt kind of just still got here, right? Like, we can't put this on Danny Watt because the baseball team was neglected before him. I don't think we can say that.
I put it on Fulmer as well. I put it on the money people there. Mm-hmm. I put it on Randy Boyd for prioritizing his new stadium downtown. I mean, like, the Lindsey Nelson renovations have been kicked down the road for a long time in favor of Nealand. So, no, I'm not blaming just Danny White. I'm blaming the entire, like, administration there. But I don't feel like Danny was really going out of his way. Like, I don't know. Did we see any pictures of Danny at South Carolina whenever Plowman and Boyd went over there to try to check out the facilities? Like, I think Danny White was in Omaha. Like, I assume he was there. Saw Randy Boyd and Donda all over the place posting pictures, yeah, posing with fans and shaking hands and getting money. Again, I'm not saying Danny White wasn't there. I don't know. I assume he was. Yeah, I didn't see him front and center visible. Like, we don't know for sure. No one spotted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know he wasn't at South Carolina. Like, he wasn't there. So, again, like, I'm not saying that it's all his fault, but I also don't think that, like, you've looked and said baseball's a priority. And you could say, look, it's not at Tennessee, and it hasn't been. That's why they're saying so bad. But if you're Tony Vitale, that's also why you listen to LSU, because they really care about your sport down there. If you're Tony Vitale, you don't care about football. Like, hey, it's nice. You know, look, we can bring some baseball guys here for a recruitment. You know, get them on campus for that, maybe. I don't know how baseball recruiting works. But, you know, it's nice when you have just big stadiums and nice teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the football renovations ain't doing much for him. And if you're Tony, it's kind of a legacy play. You want what's best for your career. You want to set yourself up.
What makes, like, LSU, like, I get they care more about the program. They have a nicer stadium. But, like, football and basketball is still the – big things they down there. I mean,
they care a lot about baseball. They won a lot of national titles in the 90s.
That's a long time ago, though. The 90s is a long time ago. Like,
No, I mean, it's...
And you just won a national championship at football. I feel like that's going to be more of the emphasis no matter what. You also have Will Wade doing his thing down in LSU.
Like, I would say that, but in the same hand, like, how much money did they give Kim Mulkey to get her from Baylor? Like, didn't they give her $2 million to, like, hire away from Baylor? Like, they seem to just kind of want to be good at every sport.
Yeah. And that's fine, but it's also like... You said they made him the highest pay. I just feel like money's not going to be our issue, right? I think we can make Tony be the highest paid coach if we wanted to.
Yeah, I think you can. But then again, if I'm Tony, I'd be like, why hasn't this happened before? Like, why didn't you reward us for being good the last 2 years? Why have my assistants not gotten the money they deserve? And, like, again, I've said for the last month, it's not going to be about Tony's salary.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. I mean, if LSU, there's reports floating around that LSU offered him $2.1 million. I don't know if Tennessee could get up to $2.1 million. I mean, they could, theoretically, but all the numbers that people think about Tennessee and making him, quote-unquote, the highest-paid coach in baseball, getting around $1.6 million. So if LSU is coming off from $2.1 million, ultimately, I think you should pay it, because I don't think you lose, you know, somebody that can not only, like, recruit baseball for you, but, like, could be one of the faces of your whole entire university nationally.
Yeah.
Like, let's face it. Yeah. Josh Highpoint probably ever going to be the face of the university, like, the one you want, like, on the website. Like, and I'm not, you know, I'm not even, like, trying to be funny, but, like, when you see Josh Heupel, you don't have your girlfriend or wife say, oh, who is that? You don't have the co-ed say, oh, who is that, and draw interest. And you can, like, laugh about that and say it's not fair, and maybe it's not, but it's true.
It's true. Yeah.
Like, there's a reason, if you go look on, you know, UT's website or look at anywhere, like, they use good-looking people to try to advertise things, right? Ain't very many ugly people advertising things.
Very true.
So Vitale could be one of the faces of your entire university, I mean, one of the faces of your entire state. Like, to me, those things all matter. So, like, $500,000, whatever. Pony up, pay it. You got all the money's so stupid anyways with sports. Again, and, like, if you say, like, we can't pay Tony Vitale the extra $500,000 that LSU was going to offer after we paid Kevin Steele $1 million for a month of work, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, Jim Cheney makes $2 million to run what kind of offense? You know what I mean? Like, is he even on staff still? Is Cheney still on staff? I've gotten so far gone from the Tennessee football program.
Right? No. There's no way.
I don't know.
Hey, Bobby.
It's been a long 6 months since the last game.
Yeah.
But, I would assume he is not. I don't think he is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, did he get hired anywhere?
He is.
Saints?
Yeah, he's an offensive analyst for New Orleans.
Ugh, what a traitor.
But everything I said about Cheney still stands, because, you know, last year didn't give up any money and, you know, was making $2 million. And, like, you're making such a big investment to these coordinators that aren't coordinating any wins for you.
But then again, like you say, like, they haven't backed him up in the past. Like, 2019, they had a pretty good year, made it to regionals, correct, when they won 40 games. But, like, we're kind of a little hypocritical as like fans because we weren't behind. Like, I don't remember that 2019 run nearly as much as I do this past year. Like, we all know the fan base really was not behind this team till this past year. Like, in the extreme that it was.
Okay,
right?
I'll say the extreme that it was, but I will say 2019 had some excitement around here.
Okay.
You know, they went to the regionals and they didn't host a regional and they got knocked out, you know, by North Carolina and Liberty. But like, people cared. Now, you know, you didn't see the sellouts and
things. I was going to say, to the extreme that it was this year, like, I watched more UT baseball than I ever have.
Sure,
like,
sure.
And I could say a lot of people probably could say that, you know, this year.
I do also think it's fair that in 2019, people that weren't oblivious to the sport could see that, like, Vitello was building something here, and Vitello was building something that was winning. Again, you won 40 games here. Like, well, you know, we've seen all the accolades he's racked up. Like, you know, there's been no 40-win season since 2005 or whatever it was, and he's got like 3 of 4 years he's been here, basically. Yeah. If you include last year's COVID where they were going to do it. Like, he's been winning. But again, you are right. It wasn't the same fever pitch, but still. It might have been last year, and Tennessee was really good last year. Maybe COVID kind of hurt that. But again, to me, it's tough whenever, you know, baseball is such an afterthought here, and then you haven't done your best to make it feel like it's not an afterthought to now get here and try to compete with LSU. Yeah. But again, if you ask me to bet right now, I still bet Tony Vitello stays. I would still bet that.
Do we know any of the financial figures for these renovations that we're looking to do?
Some people say 20, 30 million. Oof. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know, and I don't even know if they know yet because I don't know. What? See, you still have to. We've been talking about Neyland renovations for 3 years, and Danny's talking about, you know, upgrading the game day atmosphere at Neyland. Like, his focus seems to be on football, so like, it's tough that now you're going to have to answer for baseball. And again, you've kicked the can down the road for a long time in favor of pumping hundreds of million dollars into a football program that's brought you nothing. Like, in terms of winning,
yeah.
And I won't, like, be naive and act like football hasn't been a big driving factor in this, like, university. Like, I understand that it brings in more money. I get that. But I'm saying, if I'm Tony Vitello and I'm looking at it from my perspective, like, the easiest thing they could have done, this is easy to me, should have cut him an $84,000 check on the spot after they beat LSU. That was his bonus that he should have gotten for making the World Series.
Yeah.
They should have given him $84,000. Like, cut the check. And, like, you can say, like, oh, bowl bonuses don't matter for coaches, blah, blah, blah. Like, $84,000 means a whole lot more to a baseball coach making $500,000 than it does to a football coach making $4 million.
And it's also just about the respect, too. Oh, 100%. Like, you know, that's
he
what
did
it's
say that
about.
In one of his radio hits, too, like, something about being paid for winning. Like, he kind of hinted at that, like, you know, you pay for – like, he hasn't been necessarily glowing about the Tennessee administration when he's done – and he's very media-friendly. He does go around and do a bunch of hits. And he says a couple things, you know, every now and then that makes you go, huh. And one of those was like, yeah, paying for winning. He probably felt a certain type of way about not getting his $84,000 check. Now, maybe Tennessee can make that up to him now. Because he was only apparently able to earn one bonus. So he would have still been able to receive his big bonus had they won the national championship. He could have gotten $96,000. So maybe they didn't cut the $84,000 because they were hoping maybe he could bring in the $96,000. But right now they should have cut a check like as soon as they got eliminated. Or at least given him the ceremonial check and say, hey, don't cash this yet. Or we'll just give you one for $12,000 if you win the whole thing. Like, here's your $84,000. Go ahead and take this. We'll give you another $12,000 if you win.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's simple stuff.
Yeah.
$84,000 is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah,
for,
it's not like we don't have it.
Right. It's a drop in the bucket. But it's little stuff like that. But if I'm Tony Vitello, like, I really do have a problem with. And you could say, like, hey, that's not the past administration doing all the problems, but, like, that's Danny White right there could have easily done it. Do, like, a big jumbo size check, too. How they give out the golf events and lottery winners. Here you go, Tony V, $84,000.
Nice, like Happy Gilmore.
Should have ran it out. Should have ran it out on Lindsey Nelson Stadium's field.
Yeah.
Should have ran out on the field after the last out, as Tony was jumping around with $84,000. Here you go, buddy. That's what I would have done. We've known for a long time that this decision for him is going to come down to respect. I never really thought it was about the money, outside of, you know, getting the commitments to fix the stadium. We'll continue the conversation after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I mean, is there anything to say about yesterday's game that hasn't been said? You know, Russell and Bear, they did their show after.
It's good to see Kivett give some energy, show some excitement, but I think it's a little dumb that he got thrown out by the third base umpire, though.
Well, that was a big part of contention from everybody. It does feel like, and I'm sure every fan base feels this way, but man, like, I was sitting there thinking yesterday, just like in the big moment, like, when's the last time a call's gone my way? For like Tennessee, yeah. Like, when's the last time a call's gone your way, like for the Vols, like in a big moment? Like, I'm sure there has been one. Like, I don't want to be, like, you know, that naive to think it hasn't happened, but I was going back to Lamonte's foul. Yeah. I thought there was an out-of-bounds call that could have maybe gone your way in that Loyola-Chicago game. Yeah. Like, it was a coin flip, like, on that last possession before they hit the game winner. And, like, it could have gone either way, and it didn't go your way. Lamonte, of course, you don't get that call. I thought there was a one that almost went your way there on that strip, too, and Grant almost knocked it off their foot.
You even go all the way back to, like, the Jarnell charge and, like, that.
Yeah, the Jarnell charge. If you want to even go back further, the Michigan State, you fouled with, like, you know, 2 seconds left to lose. Mm. 13 men on the field for LSU. The North Carolina Music City Bowl where you get screwed on that rule that they changed the very next year.
That still hurts me because I was there.
I mean, there? Football. football against Alabama in 2019, you thought you had somewhat of a chance and they didn't give you that fumble. Mm-hmm. They didn't give you wasn't there a fumble call against Alabama or a late hit that you got screwed on? You got screwed on a late hit.
Rough in the passer, wasn't it?
You got screwed on that rough in the passer. Taylor? Mm-hmm. It was the South. There was a South Carolina game as well. Was that Pruitt's first year at 18 where they fumble? And like, it's an obvious fumble. You don't get that call. Then there's a goal line stand. You don't get that call. Like, I just feel like, again, maybe every fan base feels this way, but I'm like, man, Tennessee just can't catch a break on any officiating.
When was the last time we caught a break, honestly?
I know.
Like a big moment.
I know.
It's 98.
Like, I don't want to, like, be the woe is me because everyone probably feels that way, but I was pretty woe is me yesterday. Whenever, like, baseball's instant replay, like, what are we doing? That guy was out. He was out. Mm-hmm. The base runner was out. Now, I don't want to, like, absolve. It's a fine line because I don't want to absolve Tennessee of any blame. And I don't want to single anybody out, but, man, like, it would be tough to have a worse game than Pavloni had in defense. Really lasts, like, four games. And when you see the steal shot of whenever he caught the ball and where the base runner still was, that should have been a very, very easy out. Like, it was the most complacent, lackadaisical tag you'll ever see in that moment. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have been close. Now, I will say, I still think he made the tag. Mm-hmm. I still think the foot did not ever hit home plate. I do think that should have been an out, and you should have escaped that inning only down 5-4. You don't, and next thing you know, it's 7-4. And at the time, you thought, okay, maybe this team can rally, but they never even really threatened again after that.
How many of these kids are we going to be losing?
I mean, you're going to have quite a bit of turnover, like in baseball, though, like with JUCO transfers, and now you can get some SEC transfers, and Vitello's recruited. Like, I don't think anyone's, like, overly concerned about, like, what you're losing. I think you'll see just guys get added back. You know, guys, as long as Vitello's here, I think people still have confidence. But, man, like, that play was huge. You could have gotten out of that inning at 5-4. Yeah. Again, I don't think it was a good tag. I thought it was very lackadaisical. I thought our catcher played a very, very bad last, like, four games. You know, even going back to the LSU game one, whenever you throw the ball into left field on a pretty, I don't want to call it easy, but on a play that you could at least hit the third baseman if he's safe, whatever. But, like, you don't give up the run. I thought, you know, there's another instance where you're throwing to second base with two outs, letting that get, or with not even two outs, with one out, I believe, and then you're getting a runner advanced. Like, I just thought that it's a pretty sloppy play. Tennessee, Russell said it on his show, and I do feel like it's the accurate description, but, like, it was a disaster on every level. I thought Vitello was pretty bad at game management. You can point to pulling. Did well.
Mm-hmm. What inning was that? Was it third, fourth?
Three innings.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you don't even really care, because I mean, I don't think Blade had his best stuff. Like, I don't think Blade would have been much better throughout the rest of the game. But I will say, like, you saw Hundley on Sunday He didn't have his best stuff. Mm-mm. You bring him into that situation, and he just can't get any outs for you. And then the game's over. It's kind of like what happened. You know, it's funny because we made fun of Maneri. We made fun of Maneri. We made fun of Marceau.
Yep.
But that same thing happened to them in their elimination game. You know, they poured Marceau early, and then every reliever was just, like, terrible, and Tennessee busted open. And this is one of the weirdest goals you'll ever see in soccer here for Spain.
What?
I do love the shots of the Spanish women, though, in the crowds. Viva la Spain. It hit off the crossbar, straight up into the air. The goalie went over to try to volleyball spike it over the net and then hit it right into his own net.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I'm completely missed all that.
It would look like something you thought was fixed if you didn't realize it. Like, here it is right here. It's one of the weirdest goals you'll ever see. It goes straight up in the air. He goes over to try to volleyball spike it and hits it right into his net.
Oh, no.
Bro, just simply catch it.
I was about to say, why don't you just catch the ball?
Just catch it. Oh, that's tough.
He literally just hit it with the wrong part of his hand.
That's unfortunate. But Tennessee did not come through in any big moments. I thought, okay, look, here we go. You come out, second inning, you score two runs, and it looked like the bats were hot. The bats had, you know, they were getting hits. They were getting clutch hits. They were manufacturing runs. You're like, all right, let's go. And you really needed, I thought, a shutdown inning in the bottom of the second from Tidwell.
Yeah.
Like, let you get through one inning feeling good, get the lead, feel good. And he came out and gave a three-run bomb up.
Man, wasn't it? Was that a 2-3 count, too? I want to say it was.
Not a 2-3 count. I think it was a 1-2 count.
Or a 3-2 count.
Oh, was that? Okay. I was going to say, I know Tennessee gave, at one point when they had given up seven runs, I believe the stat was six of them had came with two outs.
Really?
Yeah. And I want to say somebody even said, like, four of them with two strikes. Like, Tennessee had – Tennessee, like, it was not getting the out they needed. I think it was a 3-2 count. You're right.
I want to say, and it was two outs, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to say that's why – that's part of the reason Tidwell got benched, because, like, Tidwell's off-speed stuff wasn't hitting. Like, that at-bat for the home run, I believe right before it, the announcer said every pitch this at-bat has been a fastball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
So then a 3-2 fastball, you try to sneak by him, like, when he's obviously going to be sitting on a 3-2 fastball, and he crushes it.
That kid was one of their hottest hitters. He literally won on a walk-off just a couple games before that.
Yeah.
You have second and third, so you have first base open. Like, you don't have to make that pitch, and you do. So, like, you can blame Vitello for benching Tidwell, but I didn't think Blade had his stuff. I didn't think he had his stuff. But I just thought between that, Hundley, and Tennessee – it's a fine line, right? Sometimes we play the results, and I like to acknowledge that, but, like, you have these pivotal moments in games and all these sports, so you can either say, well, here's what happened, and here's why. Or it can go a different way, and you can give it a different excuse. But, like, the way it looked, Tennessee lost its composure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, from that point on, like, you know, you have Vitello going crazy, you have Ross getting thrown out from first base, then challenging everyone to a fight. Which was a pretty cool moment. Like, if that would have galvanized the team, like, you'd have been like, all right, great. This is what helped lead to a victory. But instead, Tennessee never really got a hit and really threatened again after that. So it seemed like, you know, they had just kind of had a defeatist mentality there at that point. But your pitching didn't come through really in either game. Your hitting came through for half of a game. And you lost. You're playing, you know, the second best team in the country, and they beat you. The thing was, you even got to their pitching. You had a chance. You scored runs. You just didn't score enough. You couldn't stop them. And now you're home, and everyone's just on Vitello watch.
Do you think they just weren't ready for the moment at this point? You know, first time being there? Did it kind of seem like that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, you know, when you lose your composure like you do in game two, and you're pressing in game one, and you can't make the hits you have to and move the runners over like you have to, like, you can blame that to the lack of experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something happened. Because that was a team that had been pretty good in clutch moments, and then game one, they, you know, couldn't get a big hit. And then in game two, they just kind of lose their composure, and they're not making easy plays. I can also just chalk it up to two bad games. Like, you know, this is a team that got swept by Indiana State. Like, this team wasn't perfect, but, like, it's baseball. Like, no, even, like, in the major leagues, best teams, and what the most winningest team of the last, like, what, 70, 80 years maybe ever was that Mariners team. from like 2001, right? Mm-hmm. That won like 120 games, and then they lost their first series against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
After being clearly the best team all year, like, yeah. But I mean, you could also point to that, Cam, and say, well, the Yankees had been there. They know how to play in the playoffs, and the Mariners didn't. You could say that. Or you could say, yeah, sometimes you just have a bad three-game stretch, and you lose. It's tough. That's why you should just, you know, be able to look, hopefully, at the end and say this was a successful season. Omaha, like, was great. You know, still a lot of things to feel good about. But I will say that I'm not going to blame you if you're gutted by this. I'm not going to blame you if you're upset and mad. You know, there's always, every single game, no matter what it is, on the internet, people will argue about being disappointed or, you know, keeping big perspective and, you know, being optimistic. Every single game, no matter what happens. Tennessee basketball gets knocked out. Oh, Barnes sucks. No, we be without Barnes. Like, it's a never-ending thing. You're allowed to be disappointed. And despite exceeding expectations for the season and making Omaha and winning 50 games, you're still allowed to be disappointed that a Tennessee team got to the big stage and fell apart. Or got to the biggest stage. The regionals and super regionals are big stages. They got to the biggest stage and had two bad games. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to be hurt because, we said it all last week, this is your best chance to win a national championship maybe of your lifetime. Or at least in the last 15 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would even go back, like, I'm assuming, again, it's been a while, I'm not going to pretend to remember, but, like, I feel like that 05 team that Tennessee went in wasn't the number three seed. Like, the second best seed in the whole tournament. Like, I'm going to say that's not where they were.
Yep.
So, like, them going 0-2 probably wasn't the same level of disappointment. You're allowed to be upset because, again, you need to break through and win these championships. You're not guaranteed to get back. Like, if Vitello leaves, you know, you're going to feel a whole different type of way about yesterday. You're going to feel a whole different type of way about this baseball program. And let's face it, even if Vitello stays, you're not guaranteed to get to Omaha again anytime soon. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle, man. I'm going to just change the sport, change the year. It's the same damn conversations.
It's hard to win a national championship, though, John. It's hard. Like, I feel like for the fans, just like, oh, it's against us all the time. It's like, man, like, a lot of teams have went their whole, like, well, I mean, existence without winning a national championship. I mean, like, it's difficult.
Isn't Mississippi State baseball dealing with that right now? Like, I feel like Mississippi State's, you know, had a really good baseball run, and they still haven't broken through and won an actual title yet, right? I mean, I feel like they're still trying to do that.
Yep.
I get that it's really tough, but it also, like, it's also when it that's why it hurts whenever you blow your actual opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you're not guaranteed to get back there. Like, you know, cross parallel with the Hawks, like, yeah, same thing. Eastern Conference Finals, wow, what a successful season. What a great season. Can't be mad at it. We're supposed to be here. But, like, when you if you lose and get eliminated, like, you're going to allowed to be disappointed because this might be your best chance. You're not guaranteed to get back. Like, the Celtics probably weren't that upset when they lost Game 7 to LeBron in 2018 or whatever it was because, hey, we're young. We'll be back. Yeah, that might be their best chance to get to the finals. When Jason Tatum's entire career.
Yep.
Same thing with the Titans when they lost to the Chiefs. Like, yeah, you could be, oh, wow, great job. We made it to the AFC Championship. What a season. But, like, you know, that was as close as you might get to a Super Bowl again anytime soon. Both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who are mad right now, they'll be okay after a couple weeks.
Football season coming.
Well, no, that's not it. That's not it. That ain't going to do the trick for you. But keep in mind, Danny White, that's not going to do the trick, buddy.
Speaking of Danny White, like, if Tony Vitello leaves, like, he might as well just head out the door with him, right?
He
like,
better.
I feel like it's going to be completely, nobody's going to be on his side at that point.
He's going to have to go have a talk with Josh and be like, hey, Josh, I'm going to need you to squeeze out at least 8 here, buddy.
And be fun to watch.
Yeah, or score 60 points and 7 victories. Like, I'm going to need you to do something for me. I need you. I gave you $4 million. I brought you out of the hood. I got you out of the slums of the American. I doubled your salary, bro. I need you to do something for me here, okay? Or at least put on a damn tie, Danny.
That's a start.
Show your contrition by putting on a tie. Show us that you're taking this job serious by putting on a tie. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, give them a call at 865-558-8030 or visit them online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Texas got the better of Tennessee. It happens. the good news is you get a chance for revenge. As announced today, Tennessee will travel to Austin to play Chris Beard and Texas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Let's go.
Ooh.
Rick Barnes finally gets a chance, huh?
Yeah, I wonder if if it was one of like those Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka things where one of the schools was like, no, we don't want to do this, and maybe it was because Shaka was still there, but maybe now that Shaka's gone.
What would Shaka, though? What would he be scared of?
Well, just because he's the guy who replaced Barnes. It may not have been him. Like, Barnes might not want to play him. Like, Barnes might not want to take the L to him. Like, Chris Beard's from Texas, right? Like, he was on that. Was he on, like, Barnes' staff ever? I would say that probably lined up, right? I mean, because wasn't he?
Yeah, because he was an assistant for a while.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Wasn't he a Texas assistant or at least a grad assistant there? Now he's a GA in 95, so no.
Oh, well.
That wouldn't have been 91 through 95, so no. His time would have like overlapped when he's a Texas Tech like associate head coach, but yeah, no. Never mind. Maybe there's some type of relationship there. I don't know. But either way. Maybe it was just because Shaka, I don't know. Or maybe it just never happened. But the Big 12 SEC Challenge, Tennessee, Texas, that's usually that like third week in January.
Yep. Mm-hmm. January 29th is what they have the official date.
They already have the official date?
What is it? Saturday, January 29th.
Okay, so the 4th January. So that it's usually that like week in between the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like they extended the football season.
Oh, yeah,
so
it did
changed everything
season.
Up.
Well, no, that probably won't be the weekend between the Super Bowl then, because isn't the Super Bowl like in the – isn't it the second weekend
of February
this year?
I was about to say, yeah, I think it's February, what, 10th, I guess?
Yep.
So I guess it won't be. It'll be going head-to-head with conference championships. Last year, I didn't think it did. But that's okay. So January 29th, Tennessee goes to Austin. And, I mean, the early look, I mean, Texas – probably going to be a top 10 team this year.
Yeah.
By the time those two teams play, like, I think you might have a top 10 matchup. It might be the premier SEC Big 12 matchup. It might be bigger than Kentucky at Kansas by the time it comes around, especially when you consider the ties that Rick Barnes has with Texas, obviously.
You also have, what, Baylor, Alabama? I mean, defending national champs.
Okay.
I'm sure that game will be prime time, which, I mean, Baylor could take a step back.
And we don't know what Alabama is going to look like this year.
Yeah.
I was about to say, got
that recruit coming in. Yeah. That helps. Yeah.
Some good matchups in that challenge, though.
Well, it helps when like the SEC's got better teams and like the Big 12 at least like has Baylor become, you know, just kind of stay as a legit power and Texas be a legitimate team. You know, they've kind of been a fringe top 25 team.
For sure.
So Kentucky at Kansas, Tennessee at Texas. So the two biggest games maybe you get at Big 12 teams, and then you get Baylor at Alabama, Oklahoma at Auburn, West Virginia at Arkansas, Oklahoma State at Florida, LSU at TCU. Of course LSU gets TCU.
Yeah.
Mississippi State at Texas Tech, Missouri at Iowa State, Kansas State at Ole Miss. Okay. I mean, I assume Oklahoma will be pretty good too, but I think it's a game Auburn should win.
West Virginia, Arkansas, that should be good.
Yeah. Those two teams fit too.
Yeah, they do.
Those two teams fit.
For sure.
West Virginia at Arkansas.
What's a non-conference schedule? What are we looking at now? How many other we have?
Ooh, I can't.
Tennessee does such a good job of scheduling.
Don't we have that one of those challenges or tournament kind of things?
Oh yeah, playing
You'll have Villanova. Announced Texas Tech. So you know two Texas schools. You know, in the last 2 days, but like you have Villanova. You have another tournament. I think that has
North Carolina was in that too as well, right?
Right. You have Villanova, and then it's either North Carolina or Purdue.
Okay.
Is that a tournament in Connecticut?
Yeah, from what I remember.
It says it's in Uncasville, Connecticut.
Uncasville.
You go to Colorado, you know, kind of a return trip for them coming here last year. You got Memphis in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forget about that.
Those are the ones officially on the schedule right now.
Nice. Pretty solid non-conference schedule there.
I still think you'll add like one or two more as well.
Mm-hmm.
You said play Nova in that tournament, right?
Yep, Nova's your first game. It's November 20th against Nova. And then again, Texas Tech isn't on this list I just gave you. You announced that one yesterday. Yep. And then, Villanova, and then you'll play the winner or loser, I guess, of North Carolina or Purdue, depending on if you win or lose your game.
Gonna have some good tests for the for this team. And
obviously, anybody who keeps up with college basketball knows like this. You know, it's good. It's better to play those teams and lose than just not play them. Usually.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wonder if they're gonna make up any games from last year. Like, weren't we supposed to play what Gonzaga last year? Correct.
Yeah,
play Notre Dame last year. Those games never happened. I wonder if there's gonna be any makeup opportunities there.
I don't think were we supposed to play Notre Dame, or was that? I think Notre Dame was gonna
was
be
that
a,
last
a potential
minute?
Replacement
okay.
game. I don't think they were like originally on the schedule
yeah,
that we
right.
canceled on. Now Gonzaga. That one did fall through. Which I kind of thought that was the one they were going to announce today, just because it's been rumored.
Mm-hmm.
Would have felt a lot cooler if you had just beaten Texas in baseball when they announced this.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been a flex. You could be like, yep, going for the win in another sport now, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Instead, that's what they're saying to us.
Yep. They said, yeah, come on down.
That's what they're saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
They put their stupid little tweet.
What they tweet?
The real UT, please stand up. With
I knew that was going to be coming. Yeah. You kind of knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. If you're Rick Barnes, I mean, it's got to be a crazy emotions, right, to look at that. I mean, 17 years there, you're going to go back to Austin.
Yeah.
This might be the most talented team you've had. I mean, you've already got the reports coming out of Tennessee practice of the rumors that, like, Chandler's the best point guard that they've had since T.J. Ford. And,
yep.
Wow, this team's going to be so different and so talented, which I hope they are.
For
I
sure.
think they should be. This team, again, not to try to, like, be too harsh on last year's team, but I do feel like this team fits better than last year's team.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually have a big, you know, a couple big men that you can put out there.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like you said, on paper, this should be a really good team.
I think it's Elite Eight or bust.
Elite Eight or
is
bust.
That, is that too much?
No, I mean,
I don't even want to say Final Four bust because, like, I think we need to set a little expectations for Rick Barnes, right? Like this regular season success, and I don't know, maybe you can throw out last year with the whole COVID year or whatever, but, like, this team's got to do something this year. Like you said, he's got – what would be the excuse this time? Like, not enough experience now?
It's
like, I mean,
Rick
there's
Barnes
just no excuses.
Can't coach in the tournament. That's,
yeah.
That's all it is.
Straight up.
I try not to give too many, like, postseason expectations. Like, I'm more of a regular season guy, but, like, yeah, if you're Barnes, like...
Yeah, you got to do something.
If you're Barnes, like, you feel that pressure of winning big in the postseason, like, you... It's been your whole, like, legacy. Not just at Tennessee. Like, it's been your whole legacy, like, your entire, you know, career. At least the last 25 years of it.
Mm-hmm.
To be such a... decorated coach with as many wins as he has and have only one Final Four.
You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like Doc Rivers. It's not like a guy that's hang his hat on one NBA championship. And other than that, has been a guy that, yeah, can get you a one seed in the East, a one seed in the West, but doesn't do anything in the postseason.
That's not that.
And you gotta make more of an emphasis on postseason. I don't care. I know college basketball is crazy, March Madness, upsets, Cinderellas, whatever, but that's what we play the game for, like to
no,
make a run. And we haven't been to an Elite Eight since when?
Yeah. We've only been to one,
one
program.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying Rick Barnes Elite Eight money, but I try to just keep some perspective if you can have, like, a magical regular season. I try not to call the whole season a failure, just kind of like what we talked about with baseball. Although, like, with Vitello, he doesn't have that scar tissue yet. Like, he doesn't mm-hmm. have – again, this isn't just at Tennessee that we're asking this about Barnes. It's a last 25 years, basically. Like, he got fired at Texas because of the last decade there. Vitello, that was his first postseason opportunity, really. Or, I guess, second, you know, although the first one you weren't really expecting much from. So, like, you know, you haven't built up that distrust with him, whereas Barnes, like, it is always going to be in the back of his mind. But, again, if Tennessee has a magical regular season and stays in the top 10 and
mm-hmm.
wins the SEC, you know, or regular season, or at least finishes as one of the two best teams, I won't call it, like, Elite Eight or bust, but, like, a lot of fans will say, like, hey, we need to do that. Like, he Rick Barnes himself needs to do that, and I'm sure he'll tell you that. I just don't want to get into that, like, I guess make that requirement for him already until we actually see the team play. Because, like, until they actually play, they're just, you know, highly rated guys. We don't know if they can actually play.
Well, isn't that more of a reflection on coaching if you can't even get the guys going from the get-go?
Sometimes. I mean, that's fair. We can't do it to Barnes, though, and not do it to Calipari and Coach K. Because, I mean, even sometimes they have a dud recruiting class, and you know, last year's Jalen Johnson, K couldn't get him up to potential, and no one really crushed him for it. So, I mean, like, mm-hmm. it's not fair to say Barnes has to turn every one of these guys into something. But, like, it does feel like this is like Chandler should come in as the. Is it fair to say Chandler should have the most expectations on him of any like Tennessee commitment? Not just like in this class, obviously, but just like of ever.
I'm gonna say yes. Yeah, I think as a point guard, he's basically in control of the team.
Right. And his athleticism combined. Like yeah. Keon had the athleticism, but he didn't have like the point guard stuff. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. he wasn't a point guard; he was off the ball guard. And Springer didn't have the athleticism.
Yep. Yeah, he's got everything.
And also didn't have a big man to work on. Like, I mean, Chandler looks like an NBA point guard when you watch him play. Like, I mean, watching his games against those big high schools he was playing, like, he has a feel for the game that makes teammates better. Like, I didn't watch Keon in high school. I can't imagine Keon was doing the same things. Like, wasn't it Keon that got beat up by, not beat up, but like, B.J. Edwards, was it Keon that B.J. Edwards and that team got the best of in high school maybe, or was it Springer's? I don't know. One of them. But either way, like, Chandler looks the part from what I've watched.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving him a big man, and you're giving him a pretty balanced team.
Give him everything he needs, it seems
like. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, except we'll see what the coaching does, and, like, if we've got an explosive point guard that comes in and dumps the ball into the post.
Yeah, you got to let the kid play. Let him play.
Still posting up Fulkerson.
Let him run a little bit. Let's run a little bit. Yeah, we should have the athleticism and stuff to run.
Work the ball down to Fulkerson.
The incredible Fulk.
Let's get him some touches.
He better not be starting, John. No fits to him. He better not be starting.
Well, if that's one of your jumping off points for the season, I suggest you not watch the first like handful of games. Because I feel pretty confident he will be starting your first handful of games.
Yep.
I told you that the reports have been really good for like Chandler. The other ones have been like Huntley Hatfield has a little way to go. Like to get
really.
Ready. He's reclassified, so
yeah,
he needs a good offseason to kind of get up to speed. But like, not saying he can't get there, but like, I don't know if he'll be ready to make a huge impact day one. That might be one that takes a couple of games, off the bench to get going.
What's the word on the streets for Adu?
They say Adu is kind of the same way. But again, these practice reports only matter so much. They had you convinced that Uros Plavsic was a difference maker. Last year,
they started an NCAA tournament game, John.
Last year was Victor Bailey was ready to like be like the best 3-point shooter since Lofton and all these things. So take them with a grain of salt. I'm not there watching the practice. I haven't seen them with my own eyes. I just read what people say sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike Tennessee football, I actually care what they write about Tennessee basketball right now. I'm like, oh, okay, let's see what the boys are looking like. Football, skip. Skip! Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. Stick with us.